speedbuilders.com. Mrs. Ford, I show you a document marked Claimant's Exhibit 6 for identification and ask you if you can identify it?
Yes, this is the telegram that I sent back to the Red River State Hospital.
All right. Is this a copy of that telegram?
Yes, this is.
Western Union furnished you with this copy?
Yes, they did.
Mrs. Ford, after you sent that to the hospital, what, if anything, did you do the remainder of that day in connection with this?
Well, I sent the telegram and we waited for Mr. Maxwell to go down to get the body.
Did you have any further communication with Mr. Maxwell during that day?
Yes, that night Mrs. Maxwell called and told us we would have to get in touch with the Red River State Hospital because the hospital didn't want to release the body without proper authority from a relative. I called the hospital at that time and told them that I was the deceased's daughter and that I had visited my mother and didn't understand why they didn't know my name. They told me at that time that the office was closed and that they couldn't get to the files or the papers or something like that. So then they agreed to release the body to Mr. Maxwell.
Now, what was your next communication with Mr. Maxwell? Did there come a time when you discussed with him the funeral arrangements?
Yes, he came to the house.
Was this the next day, Friday, August 7?
I think Mr. Maxwell came to the house either Friday or Saturday.
Did you make arrangements to hold a funeral?
Yes, we did.
When was that funeral to be?
The funeral was to be that Wednesday.
That would be August 12, 1989.
Yes, Mr. Maxwell came by and took us up to the place where we picked out a casket.
What other types of funeral arrangements did you make during this period of time?
Well, I had to purchase a dress for my mother. I picked one up on that Friday, but then after I talked to Mr. Maxwell, I found out I got the wrong dress because the one I had was short-sleeved, and he says, you usually bury a person with a little longer sleeve. I had to return that dress. And then we had to get a hairpiece and earrings, and we had to get various things like, you know, undergarments.
Did you buy flowers?
Yes, we did.
Now, did you also make any attempt to contact other relatives of Mary Davis?
Yes, I did.
What other relatives?
I had to contact my brother, but he had moved.
What city was this?
Syracuse. We couldn't find him there, and finally had to call the police in Syracuse for them to contact my brother for me.
Were any other relatives contacted by you or your aunt with your knowledge?
Yes, my Uncle Steve and Aunt Margaret in New Orleans.
Do you know whether they made plans to attend the funeral?
Yes, they planned to attend the funeral, but there was a problem of money, and so my aunt had to send them money to get up here.
When did you first have your opportunity to view the remains?
On Tuesday afternoon, August 11, I believe.
Did you go to the funeral parlor?
Yes, I did.
Did Mr. Maxwell send someone to pick you up?
Yes, he did.
Would you describe, as best you can remember, what exactly occurred at the funeral parlor in the afternoon of Tuesday, August 11?
Well, Mr. Maxwell sent someone around for us, and we arrived there, and we were shown or walked down the aisle to the casket, and we looked at my aunt and said, "This doesn't look like you."
And what did you do?
I looked at the body, and I hadn't seen my mother since January when I brought her back from the Christmas holiday, and I said, "Gee, she must have been sick." So then we started looking at the arms and looking at the hair, and we wanted to see if it had the same type of hair as my mother's, and lifted the wig, and the hair was straight and wasn't like my mother's hair would be. My mother's hair was bushy. So then we just thought that she was awful sick or something, and then my aunt said, "I don't see how she could have been, because the hospital sent her a letter saying she was ready to come out of convalescent care." But we kept on examining the body.
Was Mr. Maxwell present in the room while this went on?
Yes, I think he was. Then we asked, could they raise the body up so we could feel on the back of the head, as there was a family trait of having like a roll in the back of the head.
A roll of flesh?
Yes, a roll of flesh, and they assisted us in raising up the body, and at this time, I just thought something wasn't right. Anyhow, we went home and we kept on thinking about it, and it dawned on me that my mother had a split ear. An earring had torn her ear at one time or another. So then we went back that night.
When you went back that night, was this for the wake?
This was for the wake.
Would you describe what happened when you went back for the wake?
We went back for the wake and I asked Mr. Maxwell, could we see the body again?
You asked him what?
We told him we would like to examine the ear. I think he brought up a light for us to see the ear. We removed the earring. We looked and we saw that it wasn't my mother. The ear was not split, so then I said, "This is not my mother." I do not remember too much from there, but I do know we went into Mr. Maxwell's office, and he got in touch with the hospital at that point.
Could you describe Clara Davis, what you observed personally about her during this period of time?
Well, she kept looking at the body, and she kept looking, really examining the body, looked at the arms, looked at the hands, and the woman was the same size as my mother, but her color was just a shade darker.